sacrifices where had certain instructions and there were certain reasons for giving them, and it was supposed to have an effect on the heart of the people to keep them close to God. But their spirits were separated from God. And so the soul that sinneth shall surely die. The penalty of sin is death. So we are all sentenced to death. It's accounted for every man to die. And so if we die for our sin, we're only getting the penalty that was due us. We can't be raised from the dead because that's the penalty of sin is death. So how does God get around this? He sent his own son, Jesus, who was without sin, lived without sin, who had a phenomenal relationship. That's why he had to have the virgin birth, so that that sin principle was not passed down to him. And he was a pure human being, and he came to show us the Father. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were sick. He was more, he was a prophet, he was an evangelist, he was a teacher, he was everything. But he was a lot more than that. He was the Son of God. And the Bible says that Adam was the Son of God when he was created. So now we have someone without sin, and the plan was, even before the foundation of the world, that Jesus would die for sin. He was made, he became a man through the virgin birth without sin, and then God, I don't know how he did it, but he put all of the sin on Jesus. This is why Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except through me. And so it's only as we understand that when Jesus was raised from the dead, because he hadn't sinned. See, when people die, they can't be raised from the dead unless they haven't sinned. Well, all of us sinned. We were born in sin. And then when we accept that Jesus died for us, we are identified with Jesus. And because he was raised from the dead, now we are born again, quickened, made alive by the Spirit of God because of what Jesus did for us. And so then his life is now in us. We're experiencing him. The heart or the subconscious mind is very deceptive, deceitful. The frustrating thing for me is that unless Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, unless we understand what Jesus did and how to apply it to our lives, we can just get religious and not really experience him. Bible talks about losing your first love, being lukewarm, all of these warnings. And sin can slowly overtake us again. But when we first accepted Jesus, wow. I said, why didn't somebody tell me about this? It was like a whole new experience that I'd gone to church but never experienced Jesus. And so this is the problem, and this is why the warnings are to the church to wake up, to experience God. But it becomes a religious system after a while, and traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. And so we have these religious traditions. One of the things that it says about the subconscious mind is that once it has accepted something as truth, it is very hard to change that. And so this is also true. This is why even different countries, the people are controlled by the media. And they're taught a certain way. Or everybody in Russia was taught that the West was evil. Everybody in the West was taught that the Russians were bad. They're people just like us. They just want to make a living, get married, have children, and enjoy life, you know. But it's what the media wants to do because of what the government wants to do, and they got to have the people behind them, and so they just really manipulate what you believe. And but that's true everywhere. They're doing it in the schools to our children with sex education and everything else. But it's the same in any religious setting. you're only going to get taught what that denomination believes. And so then you are made a disciple of that denomination. And there are good people in different religions. I've met some that are a lot sweeter than most Christians I meet. Why is that? Because the character from their parents and their grandparents, they've always been humble people, and they know right from wrong, and so they want to do what is right, and they're basically good people. Mm-hmm. But then, depending on what they're taught, they think they're okay, and they do, and they believe in something. Like Buddhists believe in something, everybody believes in something, and they are programmed that there is karma, and you come back as an animal or a different animal, and all this kind of stuff when they're children, and they actually believe that. And if you're really good, you get to come back, maybe a dog instead of a snake or something. I don't know. Like, there's no logic to it, spiritually even. Like, what kind of a God do you have? This is why we teach the way we do, because there is a logic to it from God's perspective. Mankind has sinned. They cannot redeem themselves. And so the plan was always to send Jesus to die for mankind and the sins of mankind. When you stop and think of it, Christianity is the only religion that gives you an answer for the sin problem. You can go ask anybody of any religion, well, what do you do about sin? Well, I'm good. You can't be good enough. We serve a holy God. If we can be good enough on our own, why did Jesus have to die? And this is what happens in religion. They get confidence in their own goodness because they go to church, they sing in the choir, they pay their tithes, and after a while they start to look at their own goodness. But see, that becomes pride and helping themselves, as if we can be good enough to stand before a holy God. It's impossible. So this is why Jesus had to die, so that we could experience his life. But in our hearts, our subconscious mind, we have all of these problems that life has given us. Some of them we were born with. See, without Jesus, you can't change a prostitute. You can't change an alcoholic. You can just try and be good. And most of Christianity is living in a legalistic thing of obeying rules and regulations. And the Bible says there's no power in that. I tried to quit drinking, and I couldn't without Jesus. I tried to change my life, and I couldn't without Jesus. But once I met him, and when I did meet him, I didn't want to change. But as I read the word, he started to work in me. And this is what we want to understand. How does God work in us? How do we cooperate with the Holy Spirit? How does this all come about? And so if we didn't understand the new birth or never had it, then we have a certain goodness. Mankind has a certain goodness. And as I said, even in different denominations, people, they're not bad people, they're good people, as we understand goodness, you know. But they're not holy, neither are we. But in Christ, he gives us his righteousness. We're identified now with Jesus through his death, burial, and resurrection. Before we were identified with Adam, but now we're identified with Jesus. And so this is why no man comes to the Father except through Jesus. And only as we live his word, which is truth. What is truth? That's what Pilate said to Jesus. What is truth? Jesus said, for this reason came I into the world, to bear witness to truth. Anybody on the side of truth, anybody that desires to be good, listens to me, listens to my words. And the Holy Spirit will draw him to Jesus. So it's just, I've always feel so privileged that God has given us so much understanding about what he has done through Jesus Christ. And that I was just amazed to understand that God comes to live in us. He's not way up there and we're trying to be good or he's going to beat us up or or whatever. He lives in here. And it's through that relationship with him and reading his word and understanding how everything works, understanding our hearts. Jesus talks so much about the heart. And these are words of life, ancient words ever true. And as we start to put them into our hearts, the Holy Spirit makes them real. And our spirit comes alive because it's food for our spirit man. When I first became a Christian, I told Kathy, I'll go to church, but no religious hypocrite's going to teach me how to live or tell me how to live. I said, not teach me, but tell me. But I noticed, and I didn't understand anything, but the word was heaven and affected me. And I, because of the new birth, because I had committed my life to Jesus, and I'm a man of my word, even though I didn't realize what was happening, my conscience started to bother me. The things that I was doing didn't seem right. And I didn't understand it. Some things I kept doing, I kept getting drunk until God finally called me into the ministry. Then I thought, well, I better quit drinking and you probably want me to set an example for people. But he gave me the power to quit drinking. I tried and I couldn't do it until I read certain scriptures and applied them to my life and took the steps that I needed to take. And then I was able to quit drinking and smoking at the same time. See, religion can't do that. You can't do that without having an experience and the power of this new life. This new life is so powerful, it can change anybody. And not only that, people can be good and they can be programmed since they were children. And I think about the Serbia and the Balkans. Man, there's been wars and battles there for generations and generations. But and they're holding grudges from 300 years ago that they've never even experienced, that the hatred has been passed down to the generations and the parents have talked about. It's like the Catholic and the Protestants. They're all Christians, but they fight like crazy in the past. It's getting better now. But it's just things that are passed down and the kids are programmed that way. And so they're raised to hate or think less of the Catholics, or the Catholics are raised to think less of the Protestants. And yet they're supposed to all be Christians. It's so pathetic when you look at it from God's perspective. Here they say Jesus is their Lord and they're killing each other, bombing each other, like, hello. And they're wondering why people don't want to go to church. They come to church and people are fighting. Why? Because they want their way, they want their thing, they want this, they want that. There isn't any spiritual authority, there isn't any guidance, there isn't any teaching that's helping them to change. And so we have to question, what do we believe and why do we believe it? And so understanding our own hearts, the heart's deceitfully wicked above all things. And as we said, it is programmed. Let me read here. Your subconscious mind or your heart also practice homeostasis. We went through that last week. But your heart has memorized all your comfort zones and it works to keep you in them. So my character before I got saved, it was programmed that way by life and my actions and me giving into the flesh. And it wanted to stay there. But it was only this experience with God that started to deal with my heart and my conscience that, hey, wait a minute, that's not right. Things that I'd done for years, and all of a sudden my conscience was bothering me. But everybody has a conscience, and so once you get that far where your conscience is seared, what can bring it back except an experience with God? But if you are raised, like some cultures are just humble, and if you're raised with humble parents in a humble home and you're told to do right, whatever you believe in, then, you know, you basically got a good heart or good soil, but you still don't have assurance of eternity. You still don't experience God. You're just good as far as people go. We're talking about a whole new dimension of experience through the new birth and through accepting Jesus into our lives. And so this is the beauty of Christianity, that we come back as us in the power of a new life with a resurrected body. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is coming back to this earth. Hallelujah. So this is good news. So your heart or your subconscious mind, so wherever you read subconscious mind, put heart in there. Your heart causes you to feel emotionally and physically uncomfortable whenever you attempt to do anything new or different, or to change any of your established patterns of behavior. And so much of Christianity doesn't teach the new birth or emphasize it. They believe it in their head, but they're not teaching it because it puts demands on people, and then people want their ears tickled, they want entertainment, but they don't want to have to change their lives because they're too busy in our society. That's the problem. And anytime they try to change, that sin principle rises up. You can feel your heart or your subconscious mind pulling you back towards your comfort zone each time you try something new. Even thinking about doing something different from what you're accustomed to will make you feel tense and uneasy. Let's look at Romans chapter 7. Verse 21, and Paul is talking all here, Romans 5, 6, and 7 is so much easier to understand with this diagram, because Paul is talking about struggling with sin. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was really religious, and he was going around persecuting the church. He didn't believe in Jesus and the way, but he was zealous for God, and until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, well, that changed his whole perspective, because, oh, Jesus is who they said he is. He really did pay for my sins. So my own goodness means nothing now. This is why Paul taught about, he said he was not ashamed of the gospel, because in it a righteousness from God has been revealed, that he's given us right standing. We still have to learn how to live right, but we have right standing so that we can always come into his presence, because Jesus has paid for our sins. And that's why it's by faith, not by feelings. But Christians, especially in the Western world, are always living by feelings. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. So Paul talks about the sinful nature or the flesh, the sin principle. So he's now accepted Jesus, and in his mind, he wants to do what is right, because this new nature is now influencing him. But every time he wants to do what is right, his heart is pulling him back, and the sin principle is holding him back. And so before he was saved, that sin principle was always pulling at him, and he couldn't get set free. But now, through Jesus, he can get set free, because Jesus has condemned sin in sinful man. And that's why Romans chapter 8 talks about life through the Spirit. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. By being influenced by this and the very nature of God in us, we can be set free from all these negative things, but we have to die to this old life that we have and live this new one by faith. I was crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. The life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who died for me. So the answer to our world, Bible talks about the iniquity of sin and that wickedness will increase in the last days. And that sin principle, the iniquity of wickedness, is how sin works in our hearts. And God just, if they don't listen to the gospel message or they don't hear about Jesus, then they're not going to change. And once they get into politics and power, the greed and the desire for power and position get stronger and stronger, then they want to control their country, want to control the world. You know, it just keeps on going because there's no end to the wickedness. And eventually, wickedness is going to get worse just before Jesus comes back. And so all these things are happening, and God is overseeing all this, and he's allowing that to happen. But we can experience his kingdom. We can experience his life all the time, every minute of every day. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. It won't be too long today, but we just want to... But with this understanding, it makes the Bible come alive and important, and the Word of God and how important it is. Plus, we understand how we're created, how everything functions, and the plan that God has for us through Jesus Christ is much easier to understand and to cooperate with. Because if we don't cooperate with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, we're just going to get religious. And you can make it to heaven and be good and make it to heaven because Jesus died for your sins. But we're talking about a resurrection of the dead, an eternal glory, eternal. What are you going to do for eternity? And the thing we're going to want is to be closer to God. But depending how we live here will determine what that means there. I mean, it's going to be beautiful no matter what, but when we experience God, all we want is more of him. Or we should. Problem is, we got so much of the world around us and so much on television and everything else that drags us away from God that we get into an area and in our mind, oh yes, I believe in Jesus. Oh yes, I go to church. But you're not really alive anymore. We've lost our first love and we're getting more permissive with different things. Ephesians 4, verse 17, living as children of light. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord. I insist on it in the Lord, Paul says, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their thinking. In the futility of their thinking. See, the mind that is not enlightened by God just has its own heart, and the information that has around us, and that's their thinking, and they're living by their emotions and their feelings, and they're getting worse and worse, and they can't, there's no way you can find your way out of it. See, the problem with this postmodern world is that there's no absolutes, there's no absolute morality, there's no God, everybody lives according to their own idea of what's right and wrong. And we're getting farther and farther removed from God all the time and wondering why is our society getting worse and worse. Well, it's the big picture and how sin works. In the futility of their thinking. That's why it's so important that we understand God's plan, we understand our hearts and how everything works, that we keep our thinking in line with the Word of God because and the kingdom of God and the character of God, which is what the Bible is. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. I mean, that speaks so loud when you look at our world and even religion and different things where people are just, they've learned a certain amount. God has had a certain amount of effect on their life, but now they've not gone deep enough or deeper, and they just stay at that level, or they go backwards. And they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. These are general statements. There's some people that have a softer heart. you know, some of these different religions, I mean, they are really committed to what they believe, and they're really trying to live a good life, and they're good people. But they're still operating within the system of their concept of right and wrong and their own ability. And no matter how good they are, they can't teach somebody else to be good. The only way my life changed was by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and Kathy's love and witnessing to me and the Word of God. Nobody was going to change me. Right, honey? She's still shaking. Having lost all sensitivity, I had become totally insensitive to God. I didn't know whether God was real or not, or whether Jesus was alive or not, because I only ever saw him on the cross dead. So that was the picture I had, because I was not taught anything about me having a new life, even though I had it and I didn't know it, didn't know what it was as a child. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality. They gave themselves over to it. God doesn't darken their minds. Satan darkens the mind of the unbeliever. The world darkens our mind. The world system darkens our mind. God is there to give us revelation, but we have to get it through Jesus Christ, because why would God give us any other way if Jesus paid for our sins? This is why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. And Jesus said astounding things that was hard for anybody to grasp. And like Pilate, Jesus said, for this reason I was born. For this reason came I into the world, to bear witness to the truth. And Pilate said, what is truth? And there's so many philosophies, so many different religions, so many different ways of thinking. Even within Christendom, what is truth? People are confused. What church should I go to? Wherever you're learning about God and you're growing. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you have heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. That's all of this, the new birth, the new life. His life, his nature in us. The God that created the universe lives within us. The problem is we still have that sin principle that we have to overcome. We still have wickedness in our heart, evil in our heart. Plus, we have in our heart what we've been taught about right and wrong and our own standards of right and wrong. We have all of that. And beyond, which is our subconscious mind. So we have our conscious mind, our subconscious mind, which is our heart. And then beyond that, we have this new life. But we're so busy about us and what we know and what we understand. I have a sister who's married to a Jewish person, and she doesn't believe in God. She said she looked for him all over, couldn't find him. She doesn't believe that the Christian God is the true God. Yet she grew up in a Catholic church, but she's learned and she's studied, she's worked hard, she's made a lot of money, multimillionaires. She hasn't needed God yet. She's got it all figured out. She knows it all. She won't listen to anything I say because I'm a kid brother. But the reason she doesn't believe in God, she was helping her son deliver newspapers, and she threw one up on the porch, and a woman came out and started cussing them. And she knew she was supposed to be a Christian. And my sister said, well, if that's Christianity, I don't see God there. So, and I told her, well, you can't judge God by his people. They still make mistakes. But she wasn't listening because she had it all figured out. So she doesn't know anything. But this is what happens. You go farther and farther away from truth. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, the person we used to be, the person in the way we used to live, which was crucified with Christ, because now we're identified with Jesus. The Bible says if through the one man the many became sinners, then through the sin of the one man, then so also through the righteous act of one man, Jesus paying the price for our sins, the many have become righteous. So God has already paid for everyone's sins. They just have to accept Jesus. But their minds are darkened and their hearts are set with what they've been taught and what they've learned, or what they haven't learned, or whatever, or influenced by the world, and they become, or they were hurt, and they became full of rejection and bitterness and anger, and so they can't, in their hearts, they can't realize God, even if God is trying to draw them. Kathy prayed a long time for me, but 6 months, an hour a day at the end, and the Holy Spirit was trying to draw me all the time. As I look back, I didn't know it at the time. I didn't realize what was happening. I was just having arguments with myself, and I was losing every one. Then I said, now this woman's got me talking to myself. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. And don't forget, Paul is writing this to the Ephesians, which was a really strong occultic center. Their minds were really darkened. They were into Diana worship, the goddess Diana. They had a statue built to her, and they were into occultic things, which is really a darkened mind and the flesh. The city of Corinth was the same way. Corinth was a central area where ships would go through and drop off the produce, and then it would get transported over across land to the sea on the other side and get loaded up and keep going. And so it was a real center for business. But when Kathy and I were there, 30 years ago, I remember in the Corinthian church that one man was sleeping with his stepmother, and everybody thought that was funny, and Paul really raked him over the coals about that. Well, there was such a lust there from the occult. Even when we were there, they were still selling little statues, lust with lust. I won't say what they were doing, but they were still selling that thousands of years later, because that's how they made their money. I mean, it was just a whole lustful area. And so, you know, in the attitudes of your mind, to be made and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So, with the darkness I came from, now my mind got renewed and said, no, now I'm going to live for Jesus. I know he's real. He's in my heart, and he's going to help me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so I just, by the word of God, started changing my heart from the inside out. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer. You see, you don't have to be Christians to understand this. Everybody has a conscience can understand this. When my sister came to a heart seminar, she says, that was good teaching. It's all common sense. Well, that's what I thought when I started, but you have common sense but still not have a personal relationship with Jesus. And yet I haven't seen her life change. Even though she says the Lord's Prayer, she doesn't forgive her brother. See, there's no reality to it. But in their heart and in their mind, they think they understand what you're talking about, but they only understand it to their level of experience, because that's how the heart works. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful in his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, this that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Well, how do you get rid of it? By living for Jesus and living in the fruit of the Spirit, and that will change your life. But at the same time, you can't keep on doing what you're doing and expect God to change you. So you got to, that's what repentance is, where you stop doing what you're doing, you make a 180-degree turn. I no longer live. I'm not going to give in to that flesh any longer. I have a new attitude in my mind. I'm going to live for Jesus. He's given me the power of a new life. I'm now accepted by God, because Jesus has paid for all of my sins. And so, see, it's, and when we make that change, it's like people have been smoking for 20 years and say, God hasn't taken it away yet. No, you haven't put it down either. There's no faith. They're just wanting God to change them. You know, God, take away the smoking. Well, how about you having some faith in stopping and believing the power of God is going to work in you to help you to stop smoking? See, again, it's a darkened mind about the knowledge of God and what he's like. With every form of malice, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ, in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, chapter 5, therefore, as dearly loved children, be imitators of God. And live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. Not even a hint. See, but we can only do that as we live for him because of this new life that we have. It's really the most amazing thing, and it's the victory that Jesus has gotten for us. But we have to implement it into our lives. I'm running out of time here. I had something that, all right, let me read this. And this is right off the internet from people that understand the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind, or the heart, learns by repetition, not by logic. Meditate in my word day and night. See, everything lines up with what the Bible teaches us. The Bible is teaching us how to change our hearts or our subconscious mind by the power of this new life so that we can experience God in our life and have a beautiful relationship with him. This is why you can convince someone to believe in something by repeating your argument again and again rather than using logic. Isn't that what the media does? Tell us the same thing over and over. What the schools teach us over and over. There is an agenda in the schools now which is not of God. And they're teaching our children a certain way. It's okay to have two fathers. It's okay to have two mothers as a couple. And these two fathers want to adopt a child. Well, if you can't make one, why should you have one? Hello. If everybody lived like you, two generations from now, nobody would be exist anymore. Can you not figure that out? Do you see how sin darkens the mind? With a continual lust for more, and then under the Constitution, they want their rights. They want to be a parent, even though they want to sleep with another man. Well, it doesn't work that way. That's not the way God set it up. That doesn't mean we hate them. That means they need Jesus. We need to help them understand this. Wow. There's so much here about the subconscious mind. I just ran off some stuff. There's even a lot more that I never even looked at. They talk about rules of the subconscious mind in the sense of how it works so that you understand. Talks about an ego defense mechanism. Just like your body has got its defenses against physical wounds and injuries, your subconscious mind or your heart has got its defenses against emotional shocks and wounds. These are called ego defense mechanisms or unconscious defense mechanisms. The ego defense mechanism main function is to protect your well-being and to help you overcome emotional shocks. Protect your well-being. It's like that homeostasis principle. Your heart is comfortable the way it was. It is. Some people think they're really smart, so and they're proudful, and so then the heart reacts that way, and they can't admit that they're wrong. Do you ever meet people like that? Well, that's why the Bible says the heart's deceitfully wicked above all things. Yet that's the area where we got to experience God is in our hearts, and it's deceitfully wicked. And so some people just can't admit they are wrong because their pride, they have to be right. My whole family's that way. That's why they never forgive each other, because, or ask for forgiveness, because to ask for forgiveness means you were wrong. And they can't be wrong because they know everything. They are truly Dutch. I had to deal with all these things because I was the same way. I grew up in that family. And I was the only one ever in the family that was always friends with everybody. There was always somebody fighting. Still, now that they're in their 70s, I still got a sister and a brother that refuse to be in the same house together. When we have a family reunion, one of them doesn't show up. Why? Because they're both wrong, but neither one of them wants to admit they're wrong. That's sad. In Asia, there's countries there where if you stop and ask for directions, if the person doesn't know where you want to go, they'll give you directions anyways. They do. And you can end up in the middle of nowhere following these directions, and you wonder, what is wrong with that man? But you know why they do it? Because they are ashamed if they don't know the answer. Isn't that pathetic? I mean, if I could go back and find the guy, I'd want to throttle him. Why did you send me out there? But see, that's the way the heart works. This is why we can't admit we're wrong, or that we don't want to listen to the other's viewpoint. Oh, I'm right, you're wrong. Lord, change my wife. Lord, change my husband. If they'll change, I'll be okay. No, you're still ugly. Your wife is praying the same thing. We got to change by the power of this new life. Anyways, I'll stop there because it's getting on, but yep, that's next on the list, honey. Oh, all righty. You want to share about her first?
Okay. The sister that he's talking about, doesn't know the Lord, et cetera, et cetera. Before he returned to the Lord, the Lord kept giving me dreams and visions about different things. And the one was in our grain field, there was a platform set up, and Hank was preaching, and the entire field was
And I had the exact same dream. Both of us had. So we just keep praying for them. But they talk here about rules of the subconscious mind or rules of the heart. I know a lot of those rules just by reading the Bible. Jesus said, with whatever measure you meet, so shall it be measured unto you. With whatever measure you listen, be careful. Those who have ears to hear, be careful how you listen. Are you really trying to learn truth? Is your heart hungry for truth? And to whatever degree that it's hungry for truth, to that degree, your heart can accept what the Holy Spirit has for you. See, it's the intensity of the heart, the desire for truth, the desire for God, the desire to know Him, the desire to live right, which is all desire for relationship with Him. To the degree that our heart has that, to that degree, our heart can accept. This is why I've often said that every person must have their own revelation of righteousness, because the degree that you have a revelation of righteousness by faith, to that degree your heart can accept that Jesus has paid for your sins and the reality of it, so that you can live in this whole spiritual realm of in Christ that the Bible talks about. And here's some more rules of the subconscious mind or of the heart. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. See, Jesus said, whatever measure you meet, so shall be measured. If we hunger and thirst for righteousness, the Holy Spirit is going to minister to us. He's by the grace of God, not by keeping a bunch of rules, because there's no power in that. By the grace of God, because we love him and want to be like him. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. See him as he really is. Wow. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecute the prophets who were before you. Great is your reward in heaven. There is rewards for us in coalition of how we live our life here. We're not going to be judged for sin because Jesus paid for it, but we will come to the judgment seat of Christ where we'll be rewarded for the acts done while we were in the flesh. And the more we can experience God, experience this new life, the more fruit we will bear if we persevere, if we have good hearts, and the more fruit we bear, the greater reward, which we cannot comprehend because it's a spiritual reward, but I believe it's going to be closer to God, having a greater awareness of him for eternity, being able to go in and out of the holy city, ruling and reigning with him. I don't worry about all of that. I just concentrate on doing what I can do here. But because I've experienced God and he's real and this is truth, I know there's rewards. And we can look forward. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. See, all of these are rules of the heart, because the heart's deceitfully wicked above all things. But if I will practice these things, those results will come. God guarantees it because of this new life and because he loves us. Anyways, there's so much more that could be said, but you're starting to get the picture of how important it is to purify our hearts. And the Bible says, with the same mouth we praise God and we curse men, this should not be. And James says, then purify your hearts, you double-minded. Don't be double-minded. You're a new creation. You're born again of the Spirit. You have a new attitude in your mind because you're water baptized. You committed that Jesus is the Lord of your life. Now, this is how we live for him. So we're going to do that by faith because we love him. And then we experience him. And it's the Father and Jesus come to make their home in us. They reveal themselves to us. They manifest themselves to us. And we never have to lose our first love. And we never get religious. That should make you all happy. And Pastor Bill and Pastor Kathy will feed you for the next 3 weeks. Keep you fired up. All right. I cherish your prayers when I'm gone because they are so important. And so I have Kathy and Bill, whoever feels led to come up and pray, come on up and pray. And the rest, you know, if you don't feel led to come up and pray, just stretch your hands out and come in agreement. And prayer is the most important thing in all of this. For safety, for strength, for health, for traveling, all of those things.